Yeah, 17 minutes before 8 p.m. You tuned in to Metro FM Talk here on the Mighty Metro. Checking in with some of your tweets. Praxoli Lenzo, he coming and saying, Ngokele kudlalwa ngathi apha ngalendo ye state of disaster. Kufunwa nje ukutyiwa imali in a strategic way while in the process playing with our emotions as citizens of this country. Remember, we're on stage 6 this evening. And of course, Praxolile there honing in on the one part of the instruments and the power given subsequently to the national executive arising from a declaration of a national state of disaster. And it's there in section 27 of the Act. Do check it out. And we'll certainly try as the show goes on for us to share the link so that nanibone on your devices there. Referring there to that one, section 27 2L, which gives powers once a state of disaster is declared, and after consultation with the responsible cabinet members, to make regulations or to issue directions or to authorize the issue of directions concerning emergency procurement procedures. And I think Umdaganzo is saying at the moment the gates are open to that is the moment where abantu bazawutya imali in a strategic way. What do you make of that? I'm not sure. Because even insofar as, you know, new generation capability, we've been able to get emergency procurement rounds without necessarily declaring a disaster. So I think the big question mark maybe that might be asked, of the president and even maybe the National Working Committee of the ANC is to say, you know, what are some of the things that cannot be done under the auspices of the Electricity Regulation Act at the moment that need to be done in order to unlock new capacity onto the grid so that we can deal with this issue of Damdiriri of Tsimidanya, you know? It's our headline segment, and 15 minutes before 8 p.m., we check in our headline segment with the National Union of Mine Workers, and their national spokesperson, Lebowani Mamburu, is my guest, my next guest. He's holding out on the line. We talk about mining fatalities, which have reached a new low of 49 in 2022. The mine health and safety statistics were released, and 49 mine workers having died on the job in 2022, compared to 74 in 2021, I should say, and 60 in 2020. On the release of the report earlier on today, the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy, Gwede Mandashe, welcoming this improvement, but calling on the industry to make further improvements because any life lost in the extraction of ores from the core of the earth is one life too many. And joining me on the line is Lebowani Mamburu, National Spokesperson out at the NUM. Lebowani, welcome to Metro FM Talk. Always a pleasure catching up with you, Bro.
No, thank you very much, Ayabonga, and the listeners of Metro FM.
Lebowani, maybe just before we get into the mining fatalities numbers, let me maybe just use the opportunity to get your views, just briefly, on the perspective, I guess, that has come out from the Lekgotla of the National Executive Committee of the ANC, that one of the things we need to do to deal with the energy crisis is to consider a declaration of a national state of disaster. What is your view as the NUM insofar as this is concerned, and whether it's an adequate enough action to resolve the impasse that we find ourselves in?
Ayabonga, what I can say that our leadership that was led by the president and the general secretary attended the NUC Lekgotla where this decision was taken. But the NUM is still going to have its own NEC on the 14th and 15th of February. That is where a decision will be taken as to whether we are supporting this decision that was taken by the ANC in the Lekgotla.
Are you not concerned, Lebowani, that a lot of these decisions are coming before the convening of the Alliance Energy Summit?
Come again.
Are you not concerned that there are very strong and firm declarations and commitments that are being made prior to the convening of Alliance Energy Summit, which is something that you have been calling for?
No, definitely we are concerned about the instability at the power utility at the moment, where load shedding doesn't seem to be coming to an end. And we feel that something must be done to deal with the issue of load shedding. Our region, the NEM Highveld region, met with the Minister of Public Enterprises on Friday to try and resolve this issue of load shedding and also to come up with proposals.
Mm.
They are going to have another meeting this week.
Okay. Lebowani, let's maybe move upstream then to some of the mines. And we know the coal mines, of course, fuel much of the generation of electricity in some of the power plants in your Highveld region as the NUM. It seems the fatalities are done. Much better safety record for 2022. Talk to us about, I guess, what this incrementally over time, all this change looks like. I mean, historically, where would we have seen fatalities on an annual basis at compared to maybe this number now that's coming in?
What we can say is that as the NEM, we have noted the mine health and safety performance report that was released today by the minister. Obviously, the fatalities and injuries before, it could have been higher. As you can see that in 2021, it was 74. And last year, 2022, it has come down to 49. But as the NEM, we cannot celebrate this health and safety performance statistics because we want to see a situation where there's zero fatalities and zero injuries in the mining industry. So we can't celebrate them. So, you know, it's one death is one death too many, Ayawonga. So mine workers are still dying, and we still feel that companies are still reckless, and lives can be saved.
And when you say that, I mean, you know, one of the things Minister Mandasha said earlier on today was that, you know, you might diverge with your employer when it comes to the issue of wages and, you know, rigorously contest one another. But insofar as the issue of ensuring a good safety record in many of the mines, that is something that should be an area of partnership. I mean, the fact that 49 lives have been lost, as you correctly say, is 49 lives too many. I mean, just talk to us about that state of partnership between yourselves as a trade union and many of the sites within which you operate and the employers. What has worked and maybe what else needs to be done to ensure that we get that 49 maybe to zero?
Like, you might have seen the statement that we have released today that we emphasize on the issue of technology. Because in most incidences that are happening in the mining industry, the mining companies are always quick to say that it's a fall of ground. But we have done our research that there is technology that can detect fall of ground before it happens. So we feel that the mining companies, it is time that they must invest in this technology that can detect the fall of ground. Because most of the incidences in the mining industry are caused as a result of fall of ground. So we feel that mining companies, it's time that they must invest in this technology to detect the fall of ground before it could happen.
Mm. Why do you think they haven't invested yet, if the technology is there?
Remember, the focusing more on profit, and which is another thing. And I must share this with you, that in most cases, you find a situation where our members are tempted with bonuses to work in dangerous situations.
Mm.
And that leads to fatalities and injuries that you see today. It's because of the poverty wages that they are earning. And the mining bosses tempt them with these bonuses to work in dangerous conditions. And that results in fatalities and injuries. But as the NEM, we always tell our members to refuse to work in dangerous conditions. But it's difficult because you find a situation where a mine worker is not earning enough, but is being tempted with a bonus to work in dangerous conditions. But we do educate them and tell them that they must refuse to work in dangerous conditions as they are empowered by the Mine Health and Safety Act.
Maybe just explain for us, Lebowani, who might not maybe understand or have never been down a shaft. Would some of these high-risk areas be filled with ore bodies, or is it just to say, let's go and explore? Because, I mean, you know, the fact that one would be given a bonus, no capitalist is going to give anybody something for free like that. There's always, I guess, a sense that the realizable return from digging those more high-risk areas or parts of the ore bodies will yield a significantly higher return. Is that always the case?
No, definitely. It's filled with ore bodies. And in a situation like this, that is where you find workers being tempted with good bonuses. So instead of companies paying mine workers good salaries, but they are prepared to give our members good bonuses to work in those dangerous conditions where there is good ore bodies.
And I guess from where you're sitting, I mean, at a plant level, I understand there would be safety committees and so on. What are some of the reports that you hear in addition to that concern that come through from some of your members and comrades who are sitting on these committees alongside the employer about, you know, to what degree safety could be improved? What are they saying when they report back to the union?
Now, one of the biggest concerns is the issue of rescue teams, where you find that there's a fall of ground underground, and the rescue team will deliberately delay to go and rescue mine workers who are trapped underground so that they can make more money. So I happened to experience that 2 years ago, where we in Makosana, where some of our members were trapped underground. We went underground with some of our members to go and see what is happening there. So when we arrived there, we find that those workers were already dead. They were being taken out by some of their colleagues who went to face them while the rescue teams were relaxed underground, not doing anything to rescue those workers. So that is the biggest concern. Was some of these rescue teams are not interested in rescuing workers who are trapped underground, and our members are prepared to go and rescue them, but the rescue team always stop them, so with the intention of making more money while they remain underground.
And I guess from a regulatory perspective, I mean, are you satisfied that the institutional framework that is in place, you know, as abasebenzi, but also I guess the punitive sanction that might come from not having safety protocols in place, are strong enough I guess, stem the impulses of many of the employers to profit? You know, so is the institution charged with this, the mining health and safety institution, good enough in your view to be able to stem this? And similarly, I mean, is there enough protection in the law, or I guess enough punitive sanction in the law for employers who might shirk their responsibilities to safety?
To be honest, Ayabonga, we don't think there's strong punitive action that are taken against mine bosses when they are found to be reckless. I mean, the inspectors also are not doing enough, to take strong action against mine bosses who are found to be reckless. And in some situation, you see that this fall of ground, there was non-compliance, but the mine inspector does not recommend punitive action against the company. You understand? So that those are the challenges that we are facing. I mean, Mine Health and Safety Act does empower mine inspectors to take punitive actions against mining bosses, but they are not doing that.
Yeah, Lebowani, let's leave it there for tonight. But thank you very much for taking time out to speak to us, and really appreciate you sharing of your time.
Thank you very much, Ayabon.